in this day. Maybe there's some things in this day that we don't like, but there's no mistakes. Amen. Maybe there's some trials that are coming our way, but with God there is no mistakes. So we just bless the Lord. We thank God for all of you that are here today. Amen. And we welcome you to the Agape Apostolic Church of Deliverance, where we serve, can we say, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. The scripture says there's one God. Can we say one God? He's the Father of all. He's above. How many know God is above? God is never below. God is above all. He is in you all. He's through you all. And mostly important, God is in us. Can we say praise the Lord? Amen. We bless the Lord. We thank God for my wife. And we thank God for everyone. Amen. We thank God for all those that have been laboring in the vineyard. Amen. Those that have, from lawn keeping to the church cleaning, to even Deacon Landowners putting in a baptismal pool. Don't it look nice? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So we're getting closer to being finished. Amen. We got the stairs there. We got the wood in. Amen. We got so much to do. And we just bless the Lord. We thank God. We even thank God for the young people that are in school that are coming to help out. Amen. Brother Elijah had Friday off. He called and said, well, I can come and work for a few hours. So he came and scraped and painted the wrought iron rails in the front. Can we say praise the Lord? Amen. We just thank God that children have a mind to be used of God. There's something for all of us to do. Like he said, I can't stay long, but I can stay long enough to get the job done. Amen. Now there were others. I hate calling names, because then we call names, somebody said, you didn't call my name. So I do one name a week. That way I can't mess up. I just go do one name a week. Amen. So this week it was his. I think the week before that we had James York. So we just do one a week. So just keep working, because your week is coming. Amen. We bless the Lord. And we thank God. Amen. We thank God for all those that came and helped and participated yesterday in the flea market. Amen. We didn't get vendors, but the one vendor that did come, and you know, I apologize because we didn't have many. She said, you know what? She said, you all were so kind and so sweet. She said, the fellowship was so good. She said, I'll come anytime. You all have a flea market. Amen. So, you know, sometimes it's not in the money, it's not in the people, but it's in the witness that the Lord leaves. Give me to praise the Lord. We're going to ask you to send at this time for our scripture reading. Amen. Which will be coming from the book of Daniel. We're going to read chapter 6 of Daniel. We're going to read verses 1 through 11 of Daniel chapter 6. Amen. And then we're going to ask you to hold Psalms, the 55th chapter of Psalms. Psalms, the 55th chapter. And we're going to start off reading in Daniel chapter 6, verses 1 through 11. Can we all say praise the Lord? Isn't it wonderful to be alive? Yes. Amen. We might have a few aches and a few pains, but God is still good. Actually, I saw a story. I didn't get a chance to read it. I just saw the highlights of a woman, the oldest woman in the world, 116 years old. Amen. She was still smiling after 116 years. You know she's seen some changes. Right? 116 years? Amen. That puts her back in the 1900s, or 1899. So she's seen a whole lot of changes throughout the years, but even amidst the changes, she still had a smile on her face. So I gotta read the story. I like to read, amen, because reading is important in us succeeding. You know, a lot of times we try to keep our kids entertained by getting video games and stuff like that. I don't know if Minister Simon Aaron, remember Max? Yeah. He just called him, what did he used to call him? Jesse. He called him Justin. He called him Jesse. He said, Jesse. And Aaron, when y'all get older, I'm going to tell you something. Turn off that TV and put away those video games. Right? Did the boy say Jesse? I got to keep thinking about what's that show they had with Jesse? What he says, you know, I think it's a very important lesson to learn in what he told them, and I always remembered it. Oh, this is like 20-something years ago, right? We were still in high school, right? Yeah. But he said, when we were growing up, my parents would let us sit around and watch TV and play games. He said, my parents made us read books. He said, as a result of that, he said, I am a millionaire. He said, my brother is a multi-millionaire. So he said, turn off the TV, turn off, don't play those video games, he said, read books, because knowledge is power. Amen. So I don't know, I just threw that out there. Because you all don't want to copy success. He said, I am a millionaire, and my brother is a multi-millionaire. He said, as a matter of fact, he got mad at his brother one time when him and I were talking. He said, my brother just sold his business for $90 million last year. Right? So, parents and adults, sometimes you got to turn off all this entertainment and recreation, because recreation keeps your mind idle. Well, let's go. We're going to go forward. Amen. I didn't get too many amens, but that's for TV. That TV messed you up. You know what the old times down south used to call the TV? Yeah. Used to call it the devil's what? Devil's line. That's funny. I'm not saying don't watch TV. I'm saying, but you have to have a priority in your life. A lot of us want to succeed. A lot of us want to have success. But we don't want to pay the price for the success. Amen. Daniel chapter 6, verse 1. I didn't figure I'd get too many amens there, but I just threw it out there anyway. If I could just have one person to change, it'd be worth it all, right? Amen. Verse 1 reads, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was the first, that the princes might give account unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit, Lord, give me that excellent spirit, was in him. And the king thought to send him over the whole realm. Why? Because he had an excellent spirit. Sometimes we want stuff, but we don't have the right. So if I want to do something, I'm going to get an excellent spirit. Y'all with me? An excellent spirit. Amen. Then the president and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault for as much as he was. So we got an excellent spirit. You are. That's why I want an excellent spirit. So when I got a lot of faults. But if y'all find fault with me, Mike's on the fault, maybe I don't finish all of my sentences. I don't finish all of my thoughts. But I want the fault to be a concern of the kingdom. Can we say praise the Lord? Amen. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion, verse 5, against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal. Now was this true? Just in the right way. Was this true? No, because they left Daniel out. But they said, that's why you have to, when people are starting to mess up, they're not truthful. Because they did not know it at all. Because Daniel was a chief, but they left. How many of us have said we done some all? But we left the main thing out. Amen. And to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any God or man for 30 days, save from thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which alter it not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he
did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplications before his God. Lord, we bless you and we thank you this afternoon. Lord, as we stand in thy presence, Lord, as we ask you, our desire is that you search every heart. Lord, search every mind. Lord, search the needs of this thy people that is sitting in the audience of the ear. And Lord, may you send a word to help. Lord, send an anointing to heal. Send an anointing to deliver. Lord, send an anointing to set free. Lord, we ask you to send an anointing to loose some soul that's bound. Hallelujah, that is under the hand of the adversary. Loose them through thy word. And for this we thank you. Can we all say in Jesus' name?
Yes.
Amen. You may be seated. So as we read this story, or just a little background history, Daniel had, and the children of Judah had been carried away captives, or they were slaves in Babylon. But when God is with you, yeah, I just want God, anybody want God to be with you?
Amen.
I said, anybody want God to be with you? When God is with you, though they were slaves, they were considered to be outsiders, God still elevated Daniel to the position of being number one. Well, why did God elevate Daniel? Because the scripture said he had what kind of spirit? Lord, if I don't have money, if I don't have a house, if I don't have a car I want to drive, let me have an excellent spirit. The scripture said because an excellent spirit was found in Daniel, and because he was faithful, that the king desired to make him number one above everyone else. Sometimes when God is blessing you, other people might get a little upset. Yeah, you would think when God is blessing you, you ought to be happy. But sometimes when the spirit is wrong, that's why we want to have a what kind of spirit? An excellent spirit. Amen, because an excellent spirit shows that we are faithful to God. Well, when God is blessing you, sometimes people don't like the blessings. So they will create a stir, or create a problem, just to cause you a problem, even on the workplace. You're doing your best, and people will mess with you, and try to mess you up because they are jealous. And don't worry, God has your back. Yeah, they might take away that job, but as long as you stay in God, as it was with Joseph, God will take you from one place to another until eventually God will make you the number one. And all those that you've been serving, but now be serving, if you got what kind of spirit?
Excellent.
So Daniel had an excellent spirit, and they wanted to find fault with Daniel. And they said, now we've examined his life. This guy is so faithful, he don't mess up anywhere. The only way we can find fault with Daniel is concerning his God. Hallelujah. Anybody want that kind of testimony?
Yes.
Examine me, search, try me, find fault. He said, but the only fault we can find is concerning the law of his God. So everybody got together, but they left out the one that was in charge. So then when people start, this is a little empty, all right? If people start trying to figure out something, and they're trying to do it for the better, and they leave out the person in charge, you already know you're going the wrong direction. Right? You gotta have a right spirit. I heard the scripture say, they broke the heart in a contrite spirit. Oh God, thou wilt not. So Lord, let me have an excellent spirit. Look at somebody and say, do you have an excellent spirit? Now, we're not trying to condemn them. We're just trying to make them think. Because when the spirit is right, God is with them. So Daniel had a what kind of spirit? An excellent spirit. And they want to find fault. If you're going to find fault with me in any area, let it be against
concerning my God. Let the rest of my life be in order. But if you're going to point a finger, let it be concerning God. Because if you make that, point that finger concerning God, then God has my back. So they made a decree, they connived. Thank God people don't connive in America and in our lives today. But people are pretty honest. Right? They're not that honest. People still connive. And they said, we're going to make a decree, King, that for 30 days, if anybody pray to any other God, that they be thrown into the lion's den. Amen. And that's going to bring us up to chapter, verse 10 of this chapter, and 11, where we're going to get our message from. Verse 10 reads, now when Daniel knew, can we say he knew? That the writing was signed, he went into the house, and his window being open in the chamber towards Jerusalem. Now if you read about it in Chronicles, 2 Chronicles 7 and 14 especially, when Solomon was king, Solomon was the wisest man to ever live besides Jesus. And Solomon knew there would come a day when his God's people would be carried away captive to another country. And Solomon prayed a prayer to God. Nothing like prayer. Solomon prayed, he said, Lord, if your people ever be put to the worst, and if they be taken captive to a foreign land, he said, if they can't get to the house, if they can't get to church, if they can't get back to this place where you reside, he said, if they can just look. Lord, maybe I can't get where I want to be. Maybe I don't feel God like I ought to feel. But if I can just look. Hallelujah. So Solomon said, if they can just look to this place and pray unto thee, Lord, then will you hear from heaven? God said, if my people, which are called, if my people, which are called by my name, would just humble themselves and what? We're going to stop right there. That's what we're going to do. We're headed towards prayer. Right? So Daniel knew what Solomon had prayed because somebody said they always pass it down through generations. So now Daniel is in the position that Solomon had already prayed about. So because Daniel couldn't get back to the house of God, sometimes there's some situations that may arise that you can't get to God when you want to. How, but can't nobody stop you from? How, I say can't nobody stop you from? You can't get where you want to get. And I don't want to fall. But you can still pray. So Daniel knew, huh? Lord, there's some obstacles. There's some hindrances. There's some reasons that I can't get to God, but I can still pray. So he said he kneeled down three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did. Listen, you can make a law about anything. Yeah. Hallelujah. But you can't make a law concerning me and my God. Anybody in one of those precarious situations where somebody is trying to make a law concerning your God, what are you going to do? Right? So it said, verse 11, then these men assembled and found Daniel. Daniel was. So our message today is the church need an old-fashioned prayer meeting. We need to get back to prayer. And I grew up and went to school in the 60s. And when we went to school in the 60s, every morning we started the school off with prayer. Then all of a sudden, some wicked person. I just say a first name. Y'all love to know the rest. Named Madeline O'Hare. And her son decided that they didn't want prayer. Now, back when I was going to school, they didn't have shootings in school. They didn't have all this confusion. They didn't have no detectives at the door in. They didn't have security in. So I'm wondering what happened when they took prayer out of the school. What did they replace prayer with? I heard somebody say we need an old prayer fashion prayer meeting in school. Now, I don't know if it might be the same today, but when I used to play sports, we used to have a chaplain that would come in and pray before all of our games. Do they still do that? I don't know. Y'all people, do they still do that? So, all of a sudden, all these intellectual people is trying to figure out what's the problem. Go back to the beginning. When everything was going all right, prayer was everywhere in the beginning. So if they're trying to fix some of these situations in school, I'm trying to figure out how some of these parents are saying, can we bring prayer? We need an old-fashioned prayer meeting. But that's in the school. So Daniel realized the power of prayer. So they made a decree, say, if you pray to your God, or any God, for 30 days, you're going to be cast into the lion's den. But Daniel was faithful to God. And after he knew the decree was signed, Daniel, can we say, still prayed. He knew that his life was in jeopardy. He realized he was facing uncertain dangers, but he still prayed. I'm wondering how many today have given up on prayer. Yeah, if your house ain't what it needs to be, can we call up an old-fashioned prayer meeting? Hallelujah. When we get a hold of God, like Jacob did. Jacob, when he began to wrestle with God, he said, I'm not going to let you go to you. I wonder how many of us are praying through to God like that now in the midst of our situations. How many are saying, Lord, I'm not going to let you go to you till you bless me. So they had an old-fashioned prayer meeting. Daniel did. You know what? Daniel wasn't praying with the church or the rest of the people. He was praying by himself. And they say he prayed 3 times a day. And they thought that because there was an alarm being sounded against prayer, that Daniel might stop praying. I wonder how many have sounded an alarm in your home, in your job, in your whatever community, and they're trying to get you to stop praying. What are you going to do when you realize there's some dangers if you keep following after this God? Daniel said, God has been too good. God has made too many ways. Let the devil send some trouble, but I'm going to still pray. I heard the Lord say in Luke 18 and verse 1 that men ought to always pray. Men ought to always pray and not to faint means to quit, to give up, to become a coward and turn around or retreat. Because the challenge is too great. As long as you pray, you have the assurance that God is with you. And the Bible says that God's ears are open unto the prayers of the righteous. I heard James say, confess ye your faults one to another and the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man. So you need some things to change in your life. You need to keep praying. Hallelujah, you need to pray. You know, as we were growing up and as children, we would see my mother in the living room at times praying. Amen. My father was in Vietnam and there was just so much happening that she would pray. And then when things got real bad, not only did she pray, but she would make us come in and pray, Lord, thank you. Because she got something down in me. Hallelujah. I heard somebody say the devil can't take it away. The world can't take it away. Trouble can't take it away. She got prayer down in us. What do we do when we are facing uncertainty, dangers? What do? When we got trouble, do we pray? Or do we do like a lot of people and pick up a telephone? Amen. Today you don't have to pick up the telephone, you can pick up the cell phone. And you know, I heard a story. This is a story, and this might be true and it might be false. Right? So don't judge me on the legitimacy of it. Well, it's a story. Y'all know I gotta tell a story? The story is the deacon in the church was having a whole lot of trouble. And one of the saints went by to check on him and they said, what are you doing, deacon? He said, well, I'm on the telephone trying to get some help. So it's okay, you're on the telephone, I'll leave you alone. So then the pastor of the church was having a whole lot of trouble too. And somebody went by and they said, Pastor, what are you doing? He said, well, I'm on the telephone trying to get some issues resolved. Amen. And then some of the saints in the church were having problems. And they went to check on me and said, well, what are you doing? They said, I'm on the telephone trying to work it out. And they said, well, I've been calling your number. And your number keeps ringing, but you're not answering the phone. They said, because I was telephoning to glory. Oh, what joy divine. And I can feel the current moving on the line. Built by God the Father for His loving on. You can talk to Jesus on that road. And the good thing about God's telephone is God folds up the hand cold in because He can answer. Or they're out of reception, or they're in a bad area. So I Testament, early Apostle Paul said, I pray in tongues more than you all. So how many want to duplicate success? Paul went from being from the bottom of the barrel to the worst, to being the number one used by God because he learned to. We need an old-fashioned prayer meeting. We need an individual old-fashioned prayer meeting in the home, and we need it in the church. Because when the church begins to pray for the Lord to have his way, I heard somebody say, we can feel the Lord. Anybody want to feel God's glory this afternoon? Anybody want God to touch your situation? You need to learn to learn to pray. The psalmist in the 55th chapter cried, I said, Lord, hear my prayer. Lord, there's a whole lot of things going on. Every time I look around, it seems like somebody's coming against me. You ever feel like that? The more I do, it seems like the more go wrong. The psalmist said, Lord, hear my prayer. He said, Lord, don't hide yourself from me. He said, you know, sometimes, now this might be sometimes my situation gets so bad that I wish I had the wings of a dove so I could fly away and be in rest. Hallelujah. He said, I wish I could just go somewhere and get relief from this situation. But then the psalmist dropped down a little later in the same chapter, and he said, evening will I pray. Afternoon will I pray. Morning will I pray. He said, three times a day I'm going to pray for the Lord to help me. And he said, when I learn to pray, oh, taste and see that the Lord is. So what am I praying for? Because I want a taste of the Lord. I want a touch of his deliverance. I want the Lord to move in my situation. And I want him to move right now. The problem is we don't pray like we used to pray. When things go wrong, man, we want to talk to everybody that can't help us. But God said, if you call me, if you just call me, he said, I'm not far away, just call me. And you have the assurance that I'll be there to help you. I need an old-fashioned prayer meeting. Amen. If the kids are acting up, the spouse is acting up, everything going wrong, just go and open your window. And look to heaven, just like that. Now the essence of Daniel's story was, he got thrown into the lion's den. But because his prayer life was intact, the king tried to get Daniel delivered, but he couldn't do it. Daniel was thrown into danger. How many know when you get thrown into a lion's den, you usually finish. But Daniel got thrown into the lion's den, and the scripture says that the king fasted all night long. And then he came early the next morning. That's what I'm saying. When you learn to get a hold of God, I don't know what happened in the midnight hour. Hallelujah. But you can have the assurance that weeping may endure for a night. But I heard somebody say, joy. Anybody needs some joy. Hallelujah. So I've been weeping all night long. Daniel was in the lion's den. Somebody say all night.
All night.
He's in there all night. And the next morning, the king came with a lamentable voice. Oh, Daniel. You know, he was kind of concerned. The Daniel was in trouble. Oh, Daniel. Daniel spoke up boldly. He said, King, live on forever. I knew how to pray to God, and because I prayed to God, and I haven't stopped praying, God sent in angels and shut the mouth. Anybody got some lions in your life, some challenges in your life, then you don't stop praying. You keep praying. You keep believing God, and you have the assurance that God will show up in your situation. Amen. Let us all say it. I ain't going to keep you alone. But anybody want an old-fashioned prayer meeting? you have a concert, all these famous artists, you pack out a concert, you go to that concert, you feel good, but you leave, and you got the same problem. Then you call for prayer service, and we just too busy. I'm just saying, not in here, but you know, in other places. They just too busy to pray. Prayer makes a difference. When you learn to pray to God, and you allow God to have your situation, then the Lord said, come unto me all ye labor and heavy laden, he said, I give you
rest.
Somebody on there rest. Why don't you bring it to God? And the scripture says, come boldly to the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy. And when I don't have mercy, I don't have help, I don't have peace of mind, I don't have rest. You need to pray. And when you pray, say, Lord, I don't understand what's going on in my life, but this one problem, I'm going to give it to God. As the elders and the ministers come forward. Now, as you give your problems to God, and you know, I can't tell you what to do, but I will certainly make some time to talk to Jesus. Whatever situations are going on in your life, he already knows about it. I would certainly make some time to talk to Jesus. And you know what I'll tell him? I said, this is what your word says. Because God cannot deny himself, neither can he deny his word. Our problem is we're trying to fix all of our problems, but we left out the problem solver. If we get God involved, medicine, great. Doctors, great. Lawyers, judges, everybody, great. But I just get God involved. Because he says that if we get him involved, because he is the Lord, he said, I'll make a way out of no way. What we need today, saints, friends and visitors, is an old-fashioned prayer meeting. Hallelujah.